So we are going through the Gospel of John, and our sermon series title is called, Who is This Jesus? You know, we talk about who is this Jesus, and we're going to talk about, because I believe that so many people don't know who Jesus is. They might say, well, if someone asks you, who is Jesus, what would you say? In one word, if someone asks you, who is Jesus, what would you say? And what would that be based on? Would it be based on your opinion? Or would it be based on the Word of God? There are so many people, if you go outside of here and start asking people, who is Jesus? I guarantee you get many different answers. But I want you to know that the gospel, the Bible is clear on who Jesus is. So if you don't have a sermon outline, raise your hand and we'll get you one also. But it is clear who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31 tells you and I why John wrote this gospel, so that we may know who Jesus is. And by believing who he is, you may have what? Life in his name. You know that Jesus gives life? He gives life. And that's why I'm so passionate, and you should be so passionate about telling folks about Jesus. Because if we believe that Jesus gives life and people are going to die without Jesus, how can we not tell them, right? We should be passionate about that. We should be as passionate about Jesus as we are about our favorite sports team. And you know we're going to talk about that. So we need to be very passionate about who Jesus is. So John is passionate about that. I'm passionate about that. And I pray you are too. Because God is doing great things through the proclamation, the preaching of his word. Amen? So we're going to be in the Gospel of John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 22 through 36. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 22 through 36. When you have it in your Bible, please stand with me as we read the word together. In honor of the word, let's stand together as we read the Gospel of John, chapter 3, 22 through 36. All right, and it reads as follows. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Enon near Salem, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized. For John had not yet been put in prison. Now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. Speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to talk to you from a title called Finishing Well. Finishing Well. And I'm using that title based on a person in the Bible, John the Baptist. He's known as being John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was born, had a miraculous birth. He was born to Elizabeth and Zechariah from the tribe of Levi. His mom and dad was of old age. And so at the time when he was born, it was pretty much, she was barren. She was beyond the age of childbearing. But an angel came to Zechariah and told him that his wife was going to bear a son, and that God was going to use that child for his glory, and that God was going to use that child as a forerunner to preach the gospel and to prepare the way of the Messiah who was going to come. And it also said that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. In his mother's womb, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. And so John the Baptist was born, and then he became a preacher for God. He was really the last Old Testament prophet, because between the time of Malachi and the time of the Gospel of Matthew, there had been what historians call 400 silent years, where there had not been a word from the Lord. And then all of a sudden, here comes John the Baptist out of the wilderness, and he's preaching a word of the Lord. And he has one word. He has a word for the people of Israel. It is repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So John went preaching, repent. And he said, I am preparing the way for the Messiah to come. And then John did something else. He had the ministry of baptizing. And he was baptizing Jews. Now, at this point, that was a really something unheard of, that here is John the Baptist. He is baptizing Jews, telling them that, hey, listen, even though you are the tribe of Israel, and even though you have come from Abraham, you still need to understand there's a cleansing coming that's coming from above, and I am preparing the way for the Messiah to come. Now, even during John's day, people believed that John the Baptist said, hey, he may be the Messiah. And John had to continually tell the people, I am not the Messiah. I am just one. I am a voice. I am preparing the way for the Messiah. I am not him. And so he had to consistently tell people that he was not the Messiah. Now, the Apostle John is writing, and he's talking about John the Baptist's ministry, because he still wants to tell people that even though Jesus and John the Baptist had some similarities, but they were totally, drastically different. Even though John the Baptist had the privilege of baptizing Jesus, they still had a drastic different ministry and mission. One was preparing the way, and then it was Jesus Christ who was coming to save mankind from their sin. And it was John who would say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So here now we have John's ministry is now about to come to an end. John has fulfilled his ministry, because his whole goal was to preach to preach, prepare the way. And it says also, he said that once he baptized Jesus and he knew that the Holy Spirit rested upon him, that pretty much there was going to be a transfer. It was going to be a ministry transfer, that John's ministry would begin to decrease and Jesus' ministry would begin to increase. John's whole ministry and mission was pointing people to Jesus Christ. He was saying, follow him. And do you know that when he preached, two of his disciples left and followed Jesus? It was Andrew was one of them. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist, and he heard John the Baptist preach, and he left John the Baptist and started following Jesus. Now I want you to understand, now John the Baptist's ministry was leading people to follow Jesus Christ. Now I want you to understand, that's a good ministry, right? That's a good mission statement to have. And that's why we always say here at Beyond the Walls, what is our mission? It's simple. Leading people to do what? Leading people to follow Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't make that up. I just read it in the Bible. That didn't come from me. I didn't make it up. I didn't come with a catchy tune, a catchy phrase. I'm just telling you, I believe that the church's sole responsibility is leading people to follow Jesus Christ. That is why God has left us here. That is why we're here, to help people follow Jesus Christ. And John did that. People were coming to Jesus. Now, can you imagine that? Now, people were coming to Jesus so much that John the Baptist's disciples started coming to John and saying, hey, wait a minute. The one you preach about, the one you baptize, everybody is going to him. Now, what he was trying to do was start some controversy here. And John is saying, I'm glad there are, because that is my mission. That's what I told you I was going to do. So John was doing his mission. He was fulfilling what God called him to do. And I believe also, like you and I, John was a successful minister. Now, even though if you read your Bible, you know that John eventually went to prison. Because it says that he was doing this before he went to prison. Now, how many of you know that you can be doing God's will and go to prison? Now, see, you don't hear that preaching straight. Wait a minute, there's no way. John was doing the will of God, and he was preaching so much that the king threw him in prison. And do you know that while John was in prison, that he got beheaded? So John in the Bible, John the Baptist, the last time we mentioned him, he's having his head served on a platter. Yes. You have a corpse in prison, a headless corpse. And they've taken his head and put it on a platter and gave it to Herodias, the last prophet. Now, if you look at that, would you say that John the Baptist was a successful minister? Be honest with you. Man, you have a headless corpse. From today's standard, you would say, no. Really? Because most people don't say, listen, now you are going to be a minister and you're going to serve God, and at the end of your life, they're going to chop your head off. I know, I'm not signing up for that gig. I'm not doing that bit. But yet, John did. And Jesus said John was a successful prophet, preacher. And sometimes we can get caught up in thinking that, what it means by success is not totally different what God means by success. But what you and I want to do is we want to finish well. You want to finish well, I want to finish well. And I believe from the life principles, from your outline, point one is this. Leading people to follow Jesus Christ is the measure of a successful ministry, church, and life. Leading people to follow Jesus Christ is a measure of a successful ministry, church, and life. If you are a Christian, God's not going to measure you by how much money you made. When you die, God's not going to say, listen, you made a lot of money for yourself. Good job. He's not going to say that. If you are a Christian, God's not going to say, listen, you got a great education and you had a PhD. Man, I'm so proud of you. He's not going to measure you by that. He's not going to measure you by all those standards. And many of us, when we say success, we measure ourselves by, listen, hey, I came out the gutter, I didn't have anything, and I rose up, I got a college degree, and I got some, and I made it. And people look at you and say, wow, you are a success. God ain't going to say, listen, you bought that house in that good neighborhood, about 3,000 square foot, man, you are a success. And many people judge themselves by what they have, right? Hey, I got that BMW or that Mercedes. Hey, or listen, I got my car, it's paid off, and man, I'm just, hey. Is God going to judge you by that if you are a Christian? Now, none of those things are bad. I'm not telling you those things are bad. They are good things. But God's not judging you by those things. He's not saying, because you can have all those things and still miss Christ. You can have all that stuff and still miss salvation. Because Jesus said, what profits a man to do what? Gain the whole world and lose what? His soul. What profits a man to have a big house, big car, educated, fully educated, do all those things and die and go to hell? What profits that? Is that really a success for life? Because what I want to tell you, life is more than the here and now. I want you to understand, I don't care what preachers tell you, your best life is not here now. Your best life is in what's coming. I mean, when you read Revelation, when God says that when there's a new heaven and a new earth, and God can wipe away every tear from my eye, no more sorrow, no more dying, that's a better life. I don't know about you. But on this side, you're going to have some sorrow, some joy, some death, some trials. Even in that, our best life is still on the way. We're heading there. So when we think about my life and your life, what do you say that your life is a success? How do you gauge yourself? Do you gauge it by other people or do you gauge it by God? Now, if you're smart, you want to gauge your life by who created you. And say, God, you created me. How do you see whether I've been what God says, well done, what? That good and faithful servant. Because we're all servants of God. And the Bible says, Paul says that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Everybody in here is going to stand before God. Everybody in here. Whether you're a Christian or not, you are going to stand before Almighty God. Good news, there is no atheist in hell. They're all believers. But they didn't believe while they was on this side. And God's going to judge him about, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? Then you say, wait a minute, now I am a mother, I don't work out in the public. All I have is my kids, I don't do anything. So you mean to tell me God's gonna judge me for leading people to Christ? Yeah, he is. And so, well, how? How do I start? Point A, your sphere of influence is the first place to start. Everybody in here has a sphere of influence. And the first people, parents, that God wants you to lead to Jesus Christ is who? Your kids. That's the first person that God wants you to lead to follow Jesus is your own kids. Now, because this happened, we look in the Bible, Paul talks about there are two books in the Bible named after a man named Timothy. 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul actually mentored him. Now, if you know anything about Timothy, Timothy's mother was Jewish, his father was a Gentile. His mother was a believer, his dad wasn't. So he was what they call a half-breed. He was Jew and Gentile. But his daddy was not a believer. But Paul said that he used Timothy in the ministry because it says that Timothy became a Christian not based on his daddy. Now here's what Paul says about Timothy, about how he became a Christian. He says, Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmama, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. He says, Timothy, you became a Christian because your grandmother. Your grandmother led your mother to follow Jesus, and your mother now led you to follow Jesus Christ. And now Timothy is a preacher preaching at the church of Ephesus, all for the glory of God. And Paul says that faith came from your grandmother. So what I'm trying to say to you, parents, is your responsibility to first lead your children to follow Jesus Christ. You have a spirit of influence. Everybody here has a spirit of influence that God wants you to say, who are you leading to me? I'm telling you, God's going to measure us, parents. He's going to measure me and measure you. If you are a Christian, he's going to measure you. Did you lead your children that I gave you to follow me? Now, that's scary for some of us because we say, well, I'm just going to raise them up, let them find their own way. I'm going to raise them up, let them find their own way to God. Is that really biblical? Is that what God tells you to do? No, he doesn't. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, it says, fathers, bring your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Train them up. You read Proverbs. It has a whole bunch of instructions where it's a father leading his children to follow God. It says, children, listen to your father. Listen to your mother. They give you wisdom. So we all have a spirit of influence. Parents, listen to me. Hear me. If you are under my voice today, if you're hearing me preach to you, you have a responsibility to point your children to Jesus. That's your responsibility. It's not my responsibility. It's really not. God's given me 3 children. And God wants a return on his investment. He wants me to point my children back to him. He wants me to do that. That's my responsibility. That's mine, Lynette. You say, well, hey, listen, my wife is not a Christian. Well, if you were, you better point him. Hey, my husband's not a Christian. Well, if you were, you better point him. Somebody better do it because Lois did it for her daughter. Eunice did it, even though her husband was not a Christian. Because why? She believed the gospel. She believed in Jesus Christ. She believed there was a God. So if you are a parent, let me ask you a question. Honestly, if you walked outside and you saw a building burning, it was on fire, and you know truly it was on fire, you knew it was burning, would you let your kids go in there and see what's going on? Would you say, Mom, I'm going to go in there and check out what's going on. Would you actually let them go? You tell them, no, don't go, right? And even if they tried to go in there, what would you do? Restrain them, wouldn't you? You would lay hands on them. So, no, you're not going in there, right? You would do that. Let me tell you something. If you truly believe this book, if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that no one comes to the Father except by him, if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that eternal life is only in him, there is no way that you can let your kids make up their own mind. If you truly believe this book, not me, if you believe what John said about Jesus, there's no way you can't be active in pointing them to follow Jesus. You have to. If not, you don't believe. If you say you don't, if you say, well, my kids make me own way, you don't believe this book. Because if I believe it, so we tell my kids about Jesus. And I'm going to tell them, no other religion, no other person can save you but Jesus. Now, this is me on mine. God's going to judge us about that, measure our lives. He's not going to measure me by my degrees. He's not going to measure you by your degrees. God's going to measure you by having you pointed people to Jesus. He's going to measure your church that same way. Are we leading people to follow Jesus Christ? Are we just bringing them in? No one's following Jesus? Because understand some church, we're not here just to put on a show. We're here to tell people about Jesus Christ. And Paul talks about 1 Thessalonians. He said, listen, this church was on fire for God. It was on fire for Jesus Christ. He said, listen, the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you in Macedonia. And I so we care, but your faith so we everywhere. So we need not say anything. So we for they themselves are talking about you. Listen, so we people should know about Beyond the Walls community. And they should know one thing. So we is over there. They are serious about telling folks to follow Jesus Christ. They love God, they love people, and they tell people how to follow Jesus Christ. When someone comes here, I want them to know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm telling you, you need to follow Jesus Christ, and without him, you have no hope. It's clear. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you how to have a better marriage, which is all, that's good, but my whole focus is telling you, you need to come to Christ. Without him, there is no hope. God love you. If you die without Jesus, you don't go to heaven. You go to hell. That's not what I'm saying, but the Word of God says. Lead people to follow Jesus Christ. God would judge Beyond the Walls by that. I'm telling you, I've talked to people this week. I'm telling you, just some great testimonies. Had an opportunity to talk with Kevin and Brittany, who came before when our church first started meeting here. They came and he got transferred. They came by my office and shake my hand and said, I want to tell you something. You didn't know this, but when you guys started that church, when you invited me, my marriage was on the rocks. It was shaky. But when I came here and I heard the gospel and I heard about Jesus Christ, it has strengthened our marriage. We didn't want to go to church anywhere, but I'm telling you, when I came here, I heard the gospel, I seen y'all treated me, our family now on the right road now. So I want to tell you that Beyond the Walls. People are saying, hey, I came here and I'm on the right road. I talked to Sam and Jennifer. I talked to Jennifer Sam on Friday. Called him up. Hey, how's it going? He said, listen, I'm telling you, our family, we are going to church. We are following Christ. But it all started here at Beyond the Walls. We are following God. We're trying to find us a church. We're trying to find a church to serve. And he said to me, we went to a couple of churches. They're doing okay and they're great. But the only thing we miss here is we miss the fellowship, the relationships we had at Beyond the Walls. We miss the closeness. So I'm telling you, all hope is not lost, brother. We are doing something for God. You might not see it with your own eyes, but God, we have made an impact in people's lives. I can tell you. God has done it. Because our whole focus has always been leading people to follow Jesus Christ. We are fanatics for Jesus. We are radical for Jesus over here. We make no apologies. There's no salvation in Buddha. There's no salvation in Muhammad. There's no salvation in Joseph Smith. There's no salvation in nothing. There's no salvation in Mary. It's only in Jesus, and we believe that. Amen. We believe that. So we want to understand, lead people to follow Jesus Christ. And when we do that, God will say, well done. John was doing that. And people were complaining and saying, hey, people are going to Jesus, not you. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing if someone said, you listen, folks are following Jesus, not you. I mean, isn't that great? I mean, that's exciting. Pastor, I want you to know, I'm not following you, I'm following Jesus. I'm like, hey, really? That's good. I want you to follow Jesus, not follow me. Paul says, follow me as I'm doing what? Following who? Christ. That's the goal of any pastor, is for people to follow Jesus Christ. Because if you followed him, truly followed him, I ain't got no problem with you. Because God wants us to serve him, and God wants us to follow him. And I want you to understand something also. When we're following Jesus Christ, and when you're leading people to follow Jesus Christ, there is no room, point two, there is no room for jealousy or envy in the kingdom of God. There is no room for jealousy or envy in the kingdom of God. Now, this is an area where most churches fail. Because we talk about us and them. Mine and theirs. No. Churches, we don't compete with one another. We complete one another. Yeah. We're not competing with Rancho down the street. We're not competing with the Presbyterian church. We're not competing with any church. The only person we are competing with the devil. And we ain't competing with him because he's been defeated. So we're not competing with him. And he's been defeated. We're not competing with the devil. He's afraid of us. Because we're like Navy SEALs. We're going in to rescue the prisoners from his capture. We're like Navy SEALs. We in combat here. I'm telling you. He ain't competing with the devil. He's been defeated. I'm telling you, man, come join the army over here. Need some Navy SEALs. I'm telling you, I mean, it is amazing to me that people, especially when we get set. Now, I know how I was before I became a Christian. I mean, I was a radical. I'm serious. I mean, I was, for the devil, man, I was loud, obnoxious, loud. And for some reason, when a person gets saved, they get all timid, get all scared. Well, you know, the Lord knows more. I'm like, man, you better straighten up. That's not the God that I serve. Jesus would not like that. He would turn over tables. He was saying, listen, I'm about the Father's business. Jesus went and got 12 guys who wasn't from the church. He got from the streets. Yeah. I mean, they were from the streets. Yeah. I mean, you got a tax collector. I mean, he's out there making his money. I mean, you got Peter, he'll cut you. I mean, you got John and his James, and they's called sons of thunder. They'll fight you. Yeah. I mean, then you got Judas, man. You got to watch him on the money. I mean, seriously. I mean, he went and got some renegades. He said, I'm going to take these folks from the hood, from the street, and I'm going to use them, and I'm going to turn them around and use them for my glory. Yes. Yes. Got any thugs in here for Jesus? Jesus. I mean, what am I trying to say? You know, but I mean, people who are serious for the Lord, I mean, we get timid, especially as men. Why are we so timid when it comes to Jesus? That's not what Jesus was. I'm not afraid to tell folks about Jesus. Amen. I tell folks about the devil, about everybody else. Now I can say, well, I don't want to talk about that. Why not? If it's true, I'm not afraid of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? It's the power of God. Why am I afraid about that? Why am I afraid to tell someone? It's Jesus I'm talking about. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Talk all you want to. I don't believe that, so you gotta believe it. That don't make it not true. I don't believe it. And I do. I believe it though. Do you believe it? Then live it. Then share it. Hey, we got to stop being timid. And that's why men don't go to church. Really, you know, the book says men don't go to church because they go to church and the church is all feminized. Men won't step in the pulpit and tell it like it is. But we won't tell it like it is. We want to reach people for Jesus Christ. Jesus is serious. John was a wild man. He'll preach. John told him, you brood of vipers, you snakes. He's right here. You wicked people. Yet, he was faithful in his ministry. And when we're doing that, when we are about folks coming to Jesus Christ, so we jealous in churches. Because we on one, so we, it's one team. Winning team. So we, Christ, we don't care what church they go to, as long as the church believes in Jesus Christ, and so we, do we matter where they go? But yet, and crashes, it's us and them. So there are over 100,000 people right here in Temecula. I'm telling you right now, they're not in all of someone's churches right now. They're not in church. And then you got over 100,000 in Marietta. They're not in someone's church. Then you go to a Menifee, you go to Hammond. They're not running to people's churches. There's enough sinners to go around. So why are we upset about what church they go to? We want folks to come to Jesus Christ. And when people are coming to God, you don't have no complaints out of me. Yes. And John said, hey, they're coming to Jesus. I'm excited about that. Yes. What about you? Yes. Are you excited when folks come to Jesus Christ? Paul talked about that. Even in Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 and 18, Paul says that he was preaching the gospel, and there were some folks who preached out of envy. For the wrong motive. They were preaching Jesus out of envy. And look what Paul said. He says, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. He says, some do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaimed Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Paul says, I'm rejoicing that people are preaching Jesus, whether they're doing it for the right heart or the wrong motive. Because God gets the glory when sinners come to faith in Jesus Christ. Paul talked about that also in 1 Corinthians. This church was filled with the Spirit of God, had all these gifts, but they were carnal. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says that they were even complaining, trying to say, well, I'm of Peter, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. They had all these divisions in the church. And Paul says, wait a minute, now is Christ divided? He said, listen, it's not about Peter, it's not about Paul, not about Apollos, it's about Christ. He's the one died for you. He says there should be no division in the body of Christ. Because it's all about Jesus Christ. All about folks coming to him. There's no room for jealousy or envy in the kingdom of God. Churches don't compete with one another. We complete one another. And look what John says in John chapter 3. Look at verse 27. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. Now we are rejoicing in that. He says a person can't receive nothing unless God gives it to him. So he says, I ain't got to worry about your ministry, you ain't got to worry about my ministry, because you can't receive nothing unless God gives it to you, right? He says, you yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He said, I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. I'm preparing his way. I'm like a fullback. Christ is coming through. So that's point three. We all have a role to play in the kingdom of God. John knew his role. We all have a role to play in the kingdom of God. Look what John's his role was. Look at verse 28. He says, you yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He said, listen, I've told you I'm not the Christ, I'm not the Messiah. I am just the one preparing his way. Then he says, you know what? I am like the best man of the groom. That's what he says. He said, listen, it's like a marriage. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Israel is the bride. And now he says, I'm just the best man at the wedding. Isn't that something? Now, in John's day and time, the best man of the bridegroom, his main responsibility was kind of like he was the one that took care of the whole wedding. He would be there to make sure everything was taken care of. He would make sure that the bridegroom, that everything took care of, was all ready to go. And what he would do is that because what the bridegroom would do, he would go away and prepare his house for his bride. Then he would come back and get her and then take her to be with him. But the bridegroom, now also what he would do, the bridegroom would wait, and then when the marriage was consummated, he would wait at the door, and he would only open the door when he heard the bridegroom's voice. He recognized the bridegroom's voice, and he won't let the bridegroom go into the chamber of the bride. And what John is saying, when I hear the bridegroom's voice, I rejoice. Now, he said, listen, it's not my wedding, it's their wedding. I'm just happy to be a part of it. That's what the best man is saying. It is not about me, it's about them. I'm just happy to be a part of what the bridegroom is doing. It's their wedding. He said, and they're coming together. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ is coming to marry you and I. We're coming to Jesus, the bride. And John said, that was my role. I'm just the best man. And I'm excited about what Jesus is doing. People are coming to Jesus. Are you excited when people come to Jesus? Are you excited about that? I mean, wish we had a church that'd be excited about people coming to Jesus. You have a role to play. And no person is insignificant in the body of Christ. Nobody is insignificant in the body of Christ. All of us, everyone in here has a role to play. If you are a member of Beyond the Walls, you have a role to play. You are not insignificant. We need you. The Lord has need of you. You have been enlisted into the army, the Lord's army. The Spirit wants you. Not Uncle Sam. The Lord wants you. The Lord wants you. And you need to be serious about what God is doing. No role is insignificant in the body of Christ. But we all play a role. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. Paul talks about that between him and Apollos. He says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Some people are just plant seeds. Somebody come along and water it. But if it grows, he says, God made it grow. Do you understand something? That if we're going to grow, God's going to do it. Not me. But we got to sow some seeds, though. Some gospel seeds in the ground. We got to do that. Then we got to pour some water on it. But God will make it grow. And he says in verse 7, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, they are one. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. Well, he says that the one who sows, plants and the one who waters, they're all unified, they're one. They're working for the same what? Common goal. So all the churches in Temecula and Marietta, we're working for the same common goal, the body of Christ to grow. But he says also, now he says, though, now, but each one will receive his own what? Wages. We all are needed. But he says to me, now, you have a job to do, and you're going to get paid according to your work. What I mean by that is God's going to judge all of us by what we have done to make the kingdom of God grow. We all have a responsibility. If you are a Christian, God expects you to either plant a seed or water a seed. In other words, God expects you to say something about Jesus. He expects you to tell people about Jesus Christ. Your sphere of influence, your family, your friends, your associate, your neighbor, your co-worker. That's what I got to say. My co-worker told me about Jesus. The guy I worked with told me about the Lord. He sowed a seed. Now it's grown. Who would have known? What about you? We have a role to play. The Bible says also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, says that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. And God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You are an ambassador for Christ. How's it going for you? How's that road going, ambassador? How's it going for you? What are you doing? God wants us to tell other people about him. Don't you get excited about that? Tell somebody about, won't you get excited about telling someone about Jesus? I want you to understand something here at Beyond the Walls. If we want to see God's glory and want to see God manifest in our church, we got to say something. We got to tell people about God. We got to tell folks about the Lord. We have to. We're going to tell people, say, listen. Now, I'm telling you, people are not running in the church anymore. There's no more of this building their come mentality. It's never been meant to be that way. Jesus Christ said he told us to go and make disciples. Go. I mean, you are going to them. And that's wherever you are. Tell people about Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Now, I'm telling you, a person that I've seen do that and as an example of masters that is God's given me the privilege of living with her. Lynette is a master at that. I mean, she can be in the ER and tell somebody about Jesus. She can be in the hospital. She going to invite somebody to church. Matter of fact, they came to church because you said the ER, right? And they came. They're here. They're here at the church. Now, she went there because she was sick. But she wasn't knocked down. Amen, right? She was weak, but she was strong, right? Now, she was going to the ER because she was sick. But she had no sense to say, hey, let me be conscious about what God is doing. Her spirit of influence was in the hospital. Wasn't planning on going there, but she was there. What about you? All day long, we have people around us, and we don't even... Hey, listen, I'm gonna tell you something. If you won't tell them about Jesus, at least invite them to the church and I'll tell them. How about that? I'll give you that. If you can't tell them, invite them and I'll tell them for you. I guarantee it. If you bring someone here to church, I'm going to tell them about Jesus, how to get saved. How about that? We'll make a deal. Then I'm going to help you next time and say, now, next time, this is what you need to say. But if you can't, if you're timid, invite them and I'll tell them for you. But we have to be serious about that, though. Think about that. When's the last time you told someone about Jesus? When's the last time you invited someone to be to church? We met Doug is here today. How did he get here? I didn't invite him. We have Wasim. Some people call him Simon, but I call him Wasim, my bro. But you know, he invited. It's simple. They're going to say yes, or they're going to say what? It's all about sowing a gospel seed. That's all you got to do. We make it too hard. We make it too complicated. Jesus, just sow a seed. And we tell people what? We want people to what? Come and see, come and connect, come and serve. You have a role to play beyond the walls. You are not insignificant. You are very important to the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, very significant. That's why I always tell people, don't look at me and say, oh, the church ain't growing because of the pastor. People just preach more, preach harder. No. If we would be serious about going out and telling people, if we would look with our spiritual eyes, we'd be more intentional about telling folks about Jesus. We would tell people. Amen? Fourth point is this. All glory belongs to Jesus Christ. All glory belongs to Jesus Christ. That's what John said, he must increase, I must decrease. He said, listen, my role is, only minimal. It's about Jesus. So it's all glory belongs to him. Well, why is that? Why does all glory belong to Jesus? Well, John tells us, he who comes from above is above all. He said, Jesus is from, he's above all. He's above all creation. He's from heaven, so he's above earth. He's above all. It's about him. He's above all creation, Jesus. That's good news, isn't it? He speaks with authority from heaven. He says he bears witness to what he has seen and heard, and yet no one receives his testimony. Now, Jesus Christ is an eyewitness from heaven. An eyewitness. He said, I can't, listen, I ain't telling you what I read. Now listen, if I read the Bible, I can tell you about heaven based on what I read, but I haven't been there. Anybody ever been to London before? Okay, so some people can tell you about London. Now, I can read a book and tell you something about London, but then, I've been there. I've been in London. I haven't, but someone can tell you that. And what John is saying, Jesus Christ is the sole authority on heaven because he came from there. He ain't telling you what he heard, what he thinks. He said, listen, he speaks with the authority of heaven because he is from above. And he bears witness to what he has seen and heard. But he said, yet no one receives his testimony. That people look at Jesus as like he's just some old regular Joe like everybody else, some other prophet. Well, you know, I just follow the teachings of Jesus and I like the golden rule. No. He is the Son of God, the Christ. He's not like you and I. Jesus Christ is not like you and I. He is totally different, separate from us. He speaks with authority from heaven. Not only that, he speaks the very words of God. Isn't that powerful? He speaks the very words of God. In verse 34, he says, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. So what Jesus says, you better listen to it. When Jesus told Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, you must be born again from above, he wasn't giving his opinion. It was truth. When Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except by me, that's not just an opinion, that's truth. And I want to obey what Jesus has to say. It's about him. Speaks the very words of God. Not only that, he has been given authority by God the Father. It says the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Remember I said last week? People don't go to hell because of their sins. Sin's been paid for by Jesus. People go to hell because they will reject Jesus who paid for their sins. And if you reject Jesus who paid for your sins, there's no other alternative. The Bible says for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's in him. But if you reject Jesus, you reject life. And so when you say to God, I am good enough to pay for my own sin, and God says, okay, try it. You're not good enough. He alone gives life. You can't find life in no one else. It's in Jesus. Not only that, he alone is worthy of your obedience. Look what it says in verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Notice it didn't say whoever believes in the Son may have eternal life. It says has it. You got it. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Notice how he put belief and obedience together. What he's saying, there cannot be no proper belief without proper obedience. And there are many people who say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but their life has no obedience to following Jesus. And what John is saying, there is no real belief unless you're really obeying Jesus. Not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge and feet knowledge. Are you following Jesus? Are you a Christ follower? Are you? Are you obeying him? Are you obeying Jesus right now? What he told you to do? And are you doing it? But the sad thing is, he says, there's some who won't obey the Son, and they won't see life. The wrath of God remains on them. Remains on him. That person who rejects Jesus says, I don't want that, Jesus. God, I don't want your Son. Then what you won't see life, you'll see death. You won't see God's love. You're going to see God's wrath. Now, I don't want to talk about the wrath of God, but it's right here in the passage. The wrath of God remains on him. Because God is a holy judge. He won't let you go. He has to judge sin. No good judge will just let you go off the hook. Our God is a righteous judge. He will judge sin. He will judge you when you reject his Son. What about you? At the end of your life, what will people say about you? That's our conclusion. What will be your legacy? Because on every tombstone, there's always birth date and the end date. So we know, yeah, he was born because he's dead. We know, so we know there was a beginning and an end. But what's most important, what you can't read, that little dash. That says a lot. That's your legacy. What are people going to say about your life, your legacy? What they say? He had a whole bunch of money. I've done many funerals, I can tell you. I've done a lot of funerals. I've done a lot of them. And when I try to talk to, when I'm going to do a funeral, especially a military funeral, I try to talk to the family, try to get something, to tell me something about the person's deceased. So I do it, try to do it in a nice way. Hey, tell me something about your father. Just to see what they're going to say. Oh, he was a great man. Taught some good stuff. Really loved that fishing boat. Loved the fish. Or he sure loved them ravens. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that stuff. That stuff is not bad. But what I'm really looking for is to say, what did he know about Jesus? That's what I'm looking for. What did he tell you about Jesus? And probably 7 out of 10 times, well, he wasn't very religious. He didn't have really faith. He taught some good things. But he didn't lead them to follow Jesus Christ. They were good people. I mean, they wasn't thugs, renegades. They were good people. Good meaning, children were respected. But it's bigger than that. There are a lot of good people, well-respected people, nice people in hell. Now, we don't like hearing that, but I'm telling you. A lot of good people that would give you the shirt off their back. But rejected Jesus, the wrath of God remains on them. They wouldn't lie to you, but they reject Jesus. The wrath of God remains on them. They won't see life. They say, preacher, that's harsh. But it's true. If Jesus is who he said he is, and we believe what he said he did, you have to deal with Jesus. Either you believe him or you don't. But you can't reject him and say, hey, I'm rejecting, but I'm okay. I know I'm going to heaven. I say, well, why? And that person will always say, I'm not that bad. Now, they might not say it in that words, but that's what they mean. I'm not that bad. And my response is, you're not that good. You're not that good. There's only one good, and that's Jesus. Is Jesus Christ increasingly becoming more and more the passion of your life? John said he must increase. I must decrease. The older I get, the more and more I get more focused about Jesus. Time, I don't have time to waste anymore. I got more years behind me than is in front of me. I don't know. Just had a birthday on Wednesday. Closer and closer to eternity. I don't have time to waste. We don't know. You don't know how much time you got left. The Bible says, make the most of what? Every opportunity of your time. It says also, teach us to what? Number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Most people think, I got time to come to Jesus. How do you know that? You can get hit by a car. I just read the news just yesterday. This family, seven people in a car, they driving on a vacation trip, and they're slowing down, and this tractor trailer comes behind them, runs into them, and kills the whole family. Seven people. Were they sinful people? No. By account, they was nice people. But just like that, on a vacation trip, life is gone. And the question I ask, man, I hope they knew Jesus. I hope they knew who he was. If I believe his book, what about you? My prayer is that you know Jesus. That you won't come here every Sunday hearing a sermon, hearing about Jesus. He said, oh, that was nice. I talked to a guy one day right over here. He brought his grandson to our church. I said, hey, thank you for coming. Why are you here? Well, I want my grandson to get some, he said, some morals. So I figured I'd bring him to church. He needs that. I want him to come get some morals. Now, I politely said to him, well, you know, you need some too. Now, I said in a nice way, but you need Jesus too. See, it does no good to bring your grandson here and you live like hell. Because he's going to follow you. So just as well as your grandson needs Jesus, you probably need him more than your grandson. Now, he didn't come back, but I'm telling him, we don't teach just morals here. We preach the gospel here. We preach about Jesus. Not about just giving people morals. The golden rule. We want to give you life. It's found in Jesus. And that we got to be serious about that. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you know Jesus Christ? Your sphere of influence starts with your family. Mothers, be like Lois and be like Eunice. She led her son to Jesus. He became a preacher. There's books written about Timothy. All because his grandmother and his mother came in faith in Jesus. That's a legacy, isn't it? That your children walk with. John says that I have no greatest joy to know that my children are walking in the truth. As a father, that's my greatest joy, that my kids will walk with Jesus when I'm gone. When I'm dead and gone, I gave them Jesus. They're following Jesus. Will you follow Jesus today? If you're here today, you're not saved. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. As we bow our heads in prayer, Father, I pray you would speak. Speak to every heart here. Lord, convict our hearts of knowing that you are true. There's no salvation apart from you. God, you love us so much that you sent your very Son to redeem us. Wow. Not only that, God, you gave us your word, your love story. Tell us about your forgiveness and your love. And I pray, God, that if there's someone here today, by the sound of my voice, they will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That they won't keep playing games. They won't say, I'm a good person. They will just stop arguing with you and surrender and say, you know what? Yeah, I need Jesus. So if you're here today, with every head is bowed, eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, you know what, I know that I don't know. If I die today, I'm not sure I'm going to.